Well, I hope you've enjoyed what we've been doing on this series. We've tackled sort of the life messages here on Sunday, and we've also done some slightly deeper psychological psyching and analysis of our personalities, which we've done on the Fridays. How many of you enjoyed going through that whole personality test and figuring out what your Myers-Briggs code was? All right, I hope you remember it. But we're going to unpack that. We're going to take this on further, where in the month of June, I'm going to help you to discover what your gifts are, the gifts that God's given you, and your spiritual gifts, the spiritual gifts and how you can use them in your life, in the life of life, and to help to serve other people. All that's linked together with your purpose, your personality, your character, and the gifts that God gives you, so you can live a fulfilled, rich life and become a better you. When you're a happier person, your world is a better place, isn't it? Yeah, so that's good. An elderly lady was well known for her faith and for her boldness in talking about it. She would stand on her front porch or balcony and shout, "Praise the Lord!" Next door to her lived an atheist who would get so angry at her proclamations, he would shout, "There is no Lord!" Hard times set on this elderly lady, and she prayed for God to send her some assistance. She stood on her porch and shouted, "Praise the Lord, God, I need food. I'm having a hard time. Praise the Lord, send me some groceries." The next morning, the lady went out on her porch and noted a large bag of groceries from Star Bazaar. And she shouted, "Praise the Lord." She was so excited. The neighbor jumped out from behind his hiding place, and he said, "I told you there's no Lord. I bought those groceries for you. God didn't." The lady started jumping up and down and clapping her hands, and she said, "Praise the Lord. He not only sent me groceries, but he made the devil pay for them as well. Praise the Lord." So God works in strange and mysterious ways to make provision. And it's amazing how even an atheist would love to be buried in the name of God. Anyway, moving on quickly. Today's message is about learning to live a life that is yielded to God. Everybody say, a life that is yielded to God. A modern day word for that is surrender. And I'm going to pick up from Job chapter 22, verses 21 to 30. And I want you to listen really carefully to this passage from the book of Job. It says, "Give in to God." Everybody say, "Give in to God." "Come to terms with Him and everything will turn out just fine. Let Him tell you what to do. Take His words to heart. Come back to God Almighty and He'll rebuild your life. Clean house of everything evil. Relax your grip on your money. And abandon your gold-plated luxury. God Almighty will be your treasure, more wealth than you can imagine. You'll take delight in God, the Mighty One, and look to Him joyfully, boldly. You'll pray to Him, and He'll listen. He'll help you do what you've promised. You'll decide what you want, and it'll happen. Your life will be bathed in a light. To those who feel low, you'll say, 'Chin up, be brave,' and God will save them. Yes, even the guilty will escape, even through God's grace in your life." Now, put a little bit of context to Job. Job was no ordinary man. He was a young man who was wealthy, who had an amazing family, and his entire family was madly in love with God. His life, his entire life was dedicated to serving God and living for God. And the devil comes along and he challenges and says, "You know what, God? If I make Job's life a misery, I'm certain that he's going to curse you and he's going to die." And so we see as scripture unfolds that Job goes through tremendous trials and tragedies. He has debts in his family. He loses all his wealth, his reputation. He becomes an exceedingly poor man. And it's in this time that one of his friends reminds him of this. And he reminds him to continue to give to God, to continue to trust in God. And Job does that. And we see that the end of Job's story is a man who had lost everything, who injustices had been done to, who people had treated unfairly, people had done wrong things to him. But because he looked to God, because he trusted God, because he surrendered even in his weakest moments to God, he comes through better than when he started. And I want us to learn from the story in the book of Job how our lives, no matter what we go through, when our lives are surrendered to God, when we give in to God, how God can transform whatever is happening in your life. I want to ask you a question, and I want you to think very hard before you answer it for yourself. Is your life totally yielded or surrendered to God? Is your life totally surrendered to God? How will I ever know that? Very simple. Take a look at whatever controls you. Whatever controls you dominates you. Whatever dominates you is what you surrender to. Whatever controls you dominates you. Whatever dominates you is what you have to surrender to. Whoever dominates you is what you yield to. So what is it that controls you? What is it that dominates your life? What is it that has the primary airtime in your thinking? What is it that has the primary access to your resources? What is it that occupies your life? Is what you are surrendered to. I can't judge you, but you need to assess your own life. What does it mean to yield? You know, we sing these wonderful songs, "All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my all," big or small, whatever it is you sing. We sing these wonderful, endearing songs. We say these wonderful prayers when we wake up in the morning. "Lord, today it's going to be a day like no other. I'm going to live completely for you. As long as you do this, this, this for me." I remember at exam times, I would pray more fervently than ever before. "God, just pass me in maths. Just help me to make sense of the maths questions. Get me through maths." What does it mean to yield? Yield is an act of surrendering or submission. Is your life submitted to God? Is your life surrendered to God? Oswald Chambers said this, and he's a wonderful Christian author who is now in heaven, but his writings still are available and around. He said, "The first thing I must be willing to admit when I begin to examine what controls and dominates me is that I am the one responsible for yielding myself to whatever it may be." Have you heard? "If you hadn't done this to me, I would not behave like this. If this hadn't happened to me, I would have been more yielded to God." No, no, no. The responsibility lies squarely on your shoulders. "If I am a slave to myself, I am to blame because somewhere in the past I have yielded to myself. Likewise, if I obey God, I do so because at some point in my life, I yielded myself to Him." I remember the early days of my journey in life, and I remember at the age of 9 or 10 hearing a clarion call for me to commit my life to Jesus and to experience eternal life and to know that if I was to die today, that I would be in heaven. I was about 9 or 10 as people shared the good news that Jesus brings. And I remember walking down a muddy football field and in tears committing and saying, "God, you know what? I'm going to surrender my life to you. I'm going to give my life into your hands. I want to live the rest of my life for you." And from 9 to 10 up to the age of 13 or 14, I did whatever took my fancy. I did whatever I wanted with a constant tension of asking for God's forgiveness every time I knew I'd done something wrong and had not yielded my life to the way of God. And I'd come back and say to God, God, but you know, forgive me. And yes, God would forgive me. And I had this constant ping pong battle as I grew in my faith. But when I was about 13 or 14, I remember going to a very small meeting down in Baikala. It was then the New Life Church. And in the evening, one of the small evening services, there was a call for me, for anyone to just rededicate their life. I could have chosen not to, because I was enjoying what I was doing. I was 14. I remembered the decision I made at 9. And whilst I believed my life was yielded, it was not at all surrendered to God. And I remember that day, very quietly walking up and saying, God, I surrender my life to you. I give in. God accepted me unconditionally. That was a turning point in my life. I stopped fighting. I stopped trying to live life. I stopped trying to tell God what I wanted and how I wanted to live my life. And at 14, I said, God, I surrender. I give up. And God heard my prayer. He saw the sincerity of my heart. And in that simple act of faith and surrender, my life was transformed. My purpose and my destiny was clear. I knew exactly why I was alive and why I was breathing and what God had for me. And from then on, I understood the importance of not playing with my life, of not just playing ping pong with God, but just surrendering to Him. If I obey God, I do so because at some point in my life, I yielded myself to Him. There is no power within the human soul itself that is capable of breaking the bondage of the nature created by yielding. For example, yield 1 second to anything in the nature of lust, and although you may hate yourself for having yielded, you become enslaved to that thing. Remember what lust is. It is a, I must have it now. I want it now. It is focused on self. No release or no escape from it will ever come from any human power. But only through the power of what Jesus has done for you. When you yield yourself in utter humiliation to God, to the only one who can break the dominating power of sin in your life, that destroys your life, that seeks to make your life an encumbrance, that seeks to make your life difficult. When you surrender to it, when you surrender to Him, He sets you free completely. How many of us battle and fight things that we were never meant to fight? How many of us ask for prayer for things that we were never meant to even pray for? Because had we only yielded, there would be no need to pray. Come on. I've cared for people long enough in my role as a pastoral leader. People would come back week after week, pray for this, pray for this, pray for this. And he would say, have you surrendered your life? And they say, no, but I want you to pray for me. Well, if you can't surrender, prayer cannot work. God never works against your will. He gave it to you. But when you surrender your will to God, all of heaven gets behind you and pushes you to the place where God wants you to be. When you yield to something, you will soon realize the tremendous control it has over you. The secret of surrender is the root to your success. If you want to succeed in life, if you want to be successful in whatever you believe God has called you and destined for you, whatever aspect of society, whatever area of society it is in, You will never succeed by fighting and battling. You will succeed by surrendering to God. Because when you surrender to God, you give God the permission to fight for you. Do you understand that? When you surrender to God, you give heaven the room to work on your behalf. But when you take the battles into your own hands, when you take those war zones into your hands and say, God, I can do it. I don't need you. I am strong enough. I can sort this out by myself. What is that? Nothing but sheer arrogance. It takes humility to surrender. We often make God out to be our opponent. How many of you fought with God? Look at my life. Look at the mess that's in my life. Look at the things that I don't have. It's your fault. You made it happen. It's your fault. I'm not talking to you. I'm cutting with you. I'm not going to pray anymore. I'm not going to read. I'm not going to go to life anymore. I'm on strike until you come through for me. God is ever gracious. He will never let you go. But, you know, it's silly to fight against the very one who can give you everything you need. Surrender is to stop resisting to an enemy or an opponent and to submit to their authority. These are actual transcripts of a U.S. naval ship with the Canadian authorities off the coast of Newfoundland in October 1995. Listen to this. This radio conversation was released by the Naval Operations. The American captain says, please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. The Canadians reply, recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. The Americans, this is the captain of the U.S. naval ship. I say again, divert your course. The Canadians, no, I say again, you divert your course. The Americans, now in a bolder, stronger voice like Americans do. This is the American aircraft USS Abraham Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north. That's 15 degrees north, or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship. The Canadians reply, this is a lighthouse. It's your call. It's silly to make God your opponent when you need to surrender to Him. So often things continue to go wrong in our life, not because God's not working for you. It's because you have not come to that place of surrender yet. A life that is surrendered to God and His way and will is a life that will always be successful. Jacob, in the midst of the most traumatic experiences of his life, succeeded. Why? Because he was yielded to a higher authority. And every step of the way, Job. And every step of the way, he was given the opportunity to compromise, but he chose not to. He says, for I know my Redeemer lives. Even though you may say, oh, I can give up that habit whenever I like, you will know that you can't. You'll find that the habit absolutely dominates you because you're willing to yield to it. It's easy to sing, He will break every fetter, while at the same time living a life of obvious slavery to the things that please you. But when we yield to God, when we yield to Jesus, He breaks every kind of slavery over your life and sets you free. I remember that day when I was 14. I was just doing what I wanted to do. The pleasures of life were more pleasing than living a life yielded to God. But God took hold of me and He gave me the opportunity. He created a pathway for me to make the right choice. And you know what? He will do that with each one of us. With each one of you, He will give you the opportunity. He will never force you or coerce you. But if you make the right choice, you open your life up to all of heaven getting behind you. Job's suffering, the seeming injustices of his life, never altered his faith in God. We must learn from this story, where it may seem like the unrighteous are triumphing, and when it seems like the ungodly are prospering, and when it seems like we want to fight back, we make the fight ours. But when we give in to God unreservedly, we suddenly discover the resources of heaven are at our fingertips. Every angel that is on assignment over our lives is there working on your behalf. Every promise that God has given you, you will see come true and released in your life. He will protect you. He will defend you. He will come through for you. And you will come out a better you. Psalm 37 says this: do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like grass, they will soon wither. Have you looked at some of your friends and said, Buddhu, I believe in God. I live a good life. I don't do wrong things. I don't pay bribes. I don't live a corrupt life. But I can't get things done as easily as my neighbor next door who has enough cash to bribe anybody in anything. And he just gets everything he wants. I mean, it's okay. It's okay for me to give in and yield to the conformity of society rather than to conform to God. But the Bible says, for like grass they will soon wither. Like green plants they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Amen. I love that. Trust in God and do good. Some of us trust in God and do what we want. But trust in God and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Listen to what it says here. Commit your way to God. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes, but trust in God. I mean, so often you are tempted to cut a corner, to break the queue, to do something that will compromise you from yielding and trusting and surrendering God. I want to encourage you to choose to surrender. It is painful. Surrender always requires sacrifice. What does it require? Surrender always requires sacrifice. But sacrifice to the right things, when you sacrifice things to God, He brings them back to life. Sometimes we sacrifice the wrong things to the wrong people, to the wrong institutions. Never sacrifice your family life for anything. Guard it, protect it with everything that God has given you. Never sacrifice those primary relationships that we all have in life. Our parents, our brothers and our sisters. Hold on to them with everything that you've got. Because when you honor your parents, the Bible reminds us what? That everything will go well with you. That's a surrendering to God's word. So what is it that keeps you and me from surrendering to God? It's very simple. What do you think it is? It's something that God has given you that makes you unique. It's your will. It's a decision away. Listen, people, this is serious business. It's turning points in our lives that we're all looking for that something to come through, that breakthrough. And you know, the Bible's clear, God is true to His word. When you yield to Him, it's just unimaginable what God will do through your life. I know I can call other people here probably who can tell you the same thing. But you know, we know about yielding, or rather not yielding, living in India. when you walk down the street, you push your way through. When you're on a bus, you fight for that seat. We know all about getting to where we want to. So the culture conditions us differently. But you know what? We live. We are called to live in a different society. We're called to live in a different culture zone. It's the culture zone of God's kingdom, which is what I'm going to be talking about in the month of June. And how do we live in that? It begins by surrendering to Him. I invite you this morning as we share communion. Wherever you're at, whatever battles you have, whatever breakthrough you are wanting to see in your life, it begins with surrendering to Him. And really, just recommitting your life. I want to give you that opportunity today as we share communion. And you personally come before God and say, God, my dreams, my aspirations, I bring them to you. I surrender it all. And you make it good in your time as I trust you to come through for me wherever I am at. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you that we can put our trust in you completely and that you lead and guide us to paths of righteousness. You lead us to a good place. And your promise for us this year is, Lord, that you will bring us to a place of abundance. I pray, Holy Spirit, today that you would touch each one of us as we share communion, that we would encounter you, and above all else, that we would be willing to surrender our lives to you afresh today and give in to you completely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.